Vegalands. Walter Schrell was in a large storage area at work with his friends Brom Walpo and Tegan Aifik. They were goofing off, telling jokes, talking about the cashiers that worked here who were fuckable. The plan? To get another 30 minutes on the clock the easy way, by standing around and talking. Sadly, the boss, Maggot Inthmar, came in and caught him. Maggot screamed in a rage for them all to go home, so they clocked out and left the building. They walked to the corner and got on the bus. They continued their conversations as the bus crawled away and kept going. After a while, Walter realized he was on the east side of town. The bus was pulling into a super mall. He got off with many others. He said bye to his co-workers and walked through the auto-opening front doors. Walter wandered about the mall, looking at chicks and shopping for things he was too cheap to buy. After about 40 minutes, Walter decided to head home. He had no money for a bus if he wanted to eat a couple meals before payday, so he headed out. A long walk was ahead of him. About a 7-hour walk, in fact. Luck was with Walter that day because he just happened to notice that his car was parked across the street at Paul's Meatballs, an Italian fast food place. He had his keys on him, so he drove home. Walter never found out how the car had got there. It's one of life's little wonders that kept him reeling in doubt and magic. Filmed arts and such. Walter and Tegan were taking turns filming a stop-motion movie using Tegan's digital camcorder. Frames of TV screens, computer-generated animations, and when they went out back and smoked a joint, they filmed the flowing smoke and a big mass of crayons and magic markers that were spread along the blacktop of the parking lot. Later, they would overdub some music to set the mood of it. The next day, Walter was back at Tig's, drinking a few beers and hanging out with Tig's friend David Tyler, a bass player with a pierced bald head. A bad storm was setting in. Sky went gray and then nearly black. Winds lashed the cars outside of trash and shopping carts. Porn mag soiled diapers rained against the walls of the cars. Reports of some possible tornadoes had the people all scared. Electricity went out for 45 minutes at one point. India shop. Walter and Tegan went to a new India import shop. Tegan picked up a couple packs of exotic incense and a box of betel nut candy. They had some very nice sitars and Indian hand drums, but lacking such funds to reel them back home, they went down the cement steps into the basement. It was dark down here and smelled like burning cannabis. They met a couple musicians there. They played sitar and tabla. While people drank tea and smoked at darkened tables, they watched a jam and the musicians got them high in a shadowy corner. Some fine blue hash that had them seeing intense closed-eye visuals. Refugee girl. Walter owned a battered, road-weary, blue Pontiac Sunbird. With the doors bungee-corded shut, he gave Brom a ride to work. Brom had 6 black roses in a red bag for his wife. Black roses are very expensive, probably cost him a couple $100. Brom worked at the Golden Soup, a fancy restaurant that served 300 different soups. Walter walked in with his friend Brom. Some cute girls worked here. A couple waved or smiled to Walter. Brom gave him a free wonton soup. It was crispy and delightful. Walter headed out. As he got into his car, he saw a girl in the back seat. Walter just froze in. Walter just froze at first and looked at her. She looked back with soft, brown, scared eyes, obscured by chestnut-colored bangs. She was damn cute, but why was she in his car? "Who are you and why are you in my car?" Walter said when he opened the driver's side door cautiously to see if there was anyone else in here. She grinned and said, "I'm Julie. I have nowhere to go. The government's after me." "I've heard enough. Get out of the car, lady." "No, I can't leave. I have nowhere to go," she told him, pouting her perfectly formed, big sensual lips. "I'll call the cops," Walter threatened. The girl seemed to shrivel up more, compacting herself inwards. "No, please don't." "Okay, I won't. You're not armed, are you?" Walter asked, still paranoid about her. "No, I don't carry weapons," she said sweetly. Walter felt like he could swim in her soft eyes, a brown ocean of exotic breezes, taste, and sensual honey bunny warmth. Walter settled into his car and drove it home. He made small talk with her. No politics, no conspiracy theories. They were both Sonic Youth fans, and they both liked to throw darts at Norman Rockwell Prince. Both liked to go barefoot and smoke catnip out of corncob pipes. By the time they pulled up to Walter's small, modest home, they were giggling about old times they've had individually. Walter liked her. They smoked a joint that Walter rolled, and then took a shower together, staring into each other's eyes. No sex that night. They just ended up sleeping together, fully clothed. When Walter woke up that morning, she was gone, as well as a couple lobster sandwiches from the fridge. Walter rolled a joint and smoked it, thinking about her. Elite Bone Store. Walter takes Brom Walpo to the Elite Bone Store to return his desk phone. They talk politics on the way.